Hilchus Choyvel Umazik, laws of personally caused injuries and damages. This is chapter 4. The chapter contains 22 halachas. The subject matter here deals with specialized cases in which damages are not paid for an injury, or where damages are paid not to the actual victim of the injury, but to someone else. Halacha Aleph, Hanoigefes Ha'isha, one who strikes a woman who was pregnant, V'yotzu Yelodeh, and he caused her to have a miscarriage, and the babies were miscarried. Afal pi shaloi niskavin, even though he did not intend to do so, we learn that he did not intend to do so from the pasuk in Mishpatim, where it says, if two men will fight together, and they will strike a pregnant woman. So here they intended to fight with each other. They did not intend to strike a woman. Yet if they struck the woman, they have to pay for not only to the damage, for the damage to the woman herself, but for the loss of the children. Chayev l'shalim d'mei v'lodis l'bal. The one who struck the woman, even though he did not intend to do so, chayev l'shalim d'mei v'lodis l'bal, he has to pay the cost of the babies, that is the monetary loss, has to be paid to the woman's husband. V'nezek v'tzar, and the loss of her own value, her own damage, that is, and the pain that she suffered has to be paid. Lo'isha, this is paid to the woman herself. Halocha beis, v'keitzad misharin d'mei v'lodis, how do we evaluate the cost of the babies that were lost? We do not evaluate how much the babies would have been worth had they been born normally, because in fact they were not born normally, and no one will pay a pregnant woman the full price of a baby slave for children that have not been born yet, because she may naturally miscarry anyway. Shamin ha'isha kama hoisa yofe achela yolda. We estimate the value of the woman. How much was she worth to be sold as a slave while she was still pregnant before she gave birth? Her value has been slightly increased because of the expected birth of the babies. V'kama hi yofa mishayolda, and how much is she worth now that she has given birth and there are no babies forthcoming? V'noisnim labal, and now this difference is paid to the husband. The loss is made up to him. Imeis habal, noisnim layorishim, if the husband dies after the accident occurred, but before the money was collected, the husband dies. Of course, as in all cases, anything that's due to him is to be paid to his heirs, not to the woman, but to his heirs. V'yimnogfa acha misas habal. If, however, the whole accident occurred after the husband was already dead, a pregnant woman had lost her husband, and now she was struck and she miscarried. Now the money is paid to her. Even the cost of the babies is to be paid to the woman herself. Because here there never was a husband who was in place to receive the money. The whole accident occurred after he was dead. Halacha Gimel, Hoisa Nesua Legeir, if she had been married to a convert to Judaism, and he has no Jewish relatives to inherit him, if he injured her, if someone injured her and caused her to miscarry while her husband, the convert, was still alive, then he has to pay the cost of the babies to the husband, as in any ordinary case. If, however, before he paid it, the convert died, now there's no one to inherit him, and the law is that whenever a convert to Judaism dies and leaves no heirs, that whoever appropriates his property, or the first one to take his property, owns it. Since he has not yet paid here, he is in possession, the one who caused the damage has not paid, he is in possession of the money owing to the convert, to the ger, he himself inherits it, potter, and so he does not have to pay to anyone. V'im chaval ba'acha misas hager, if, however, the whole accident took place, he injured the woman after her husband, the convert, had died, then the law is the same as any case where he caused a Jewish woman to miscarry, Zoch, and her husband was already dead before the accident. Zoch sahi bitmei vlodis. She herself receives the money for the babies. Halacha dalit, hoisa shifcha. If she was a shifcha, she was a female slave, oy goya, or she was not Jewish altogether, b'shas hiroyin, at the time she became pregnant, she illegally became pregnant by a Jew, or b'shas negifa nishtachero oynizgaira, and at the time that she was struck and she miscarried, she had been set free or she had converted to Judaism, harei demei vlodis shelo, the money for the children ought to be paid to her herself. If one struck a woman and she miscarried the babies, and she also died during the miscarriage, even though the one who struck her, as we said, he struck her unwillingly, he struck her unintentionally, and therefore this is not a capital crime, nevertheless, hareze poter min hatashlumim. He does not have to pay her. Be'enei mishalim klum. He pays nothing. He pays neither the cost of the babies to the husband, nor the cost of the damages and the pain to the woman. Because in all cases where one commits a capital crime, as we have already learned on a number of occasions, he is put to death and he does not pay in addition. Ve'ini mishalim klum, he pays nothing. Shenemar, the pasuk says, ve'loy yiya osin, if no accident will happen to the woman herself, she will not die, that is, oneshin onesh, then he shall be punished and required to pay. Ve'chilik ha'kosov ben shoigig lemezid, bedova sheyesh by Mrs. Besen, lepotri minatashlumim. In a case, from this we learn, that in a case where a capital crime is involved and there would be capital punishment, the pasuk does not distinguish between shoigig and mezid, between a case of unwilling participation in the crime where the one who committed the crime will not in fact be put to death, or a case where he did it willingly and he will be put to death, since it's a capital crime. In any case, regardless of whether capital punishment is in fact carried out, he does not have to pay. Halacha vav, b'meh dvarim amurim, in which case does this rule apply, that it's a capital crime, and therefore even if he's not put to death, he does not have to pay. Where he did intend to strike the woman, he just didn't intend to kill her, he didn't intend to cause a miscarriage. In such a case, however, since he did intend to strike the woman, therefore it's considered a capital crime and he will not have to pay. If, however, he intended to strike some other person, his fellow man, and by mistake he struck the woman, even though she died, since he killed her without any intent whatsoever, he didn't even intend to strike her at all, this is treated like a case of a not capital crime, and in such a case, since it's not a capital crime, he does have to pay the cost of the babies. Halacha Zayin, hamake oviv v'imoy, one who struck his father or his mother, v'loy osa behem chabura, and he did not cause any actual injury to them, any wound. He did not cause a wound that bleeds. Therefore, it's not a capital crime. Chayav b'chamisha dvarim. He has to pay the ordinary five things that we spoke about in chapter 1 that have to be paid in a case of a personal injury. Aval im osa behem chavura. If, however, he caused a wound to them that bleeds, and therefore it's a capital case, one who struck his father or his mother and caused an actual wound is put to death, or a case where one injured his fellow man on Shabbos and he caused a wound that bleeds, which is a malocha on Shabbos, and it's a capital crime. He's put to death by skila. Afilu hoya shoygeg. In either of these cases, even if he was a shoygeg, if he had done it unintentionally, and he's not in fact put to death, nevertheless, potem min atashlumim, he is not required to pay. Mipnei shehu avoin misas bezdin, because this is a sin which involves capital punishment. Ukvar bi'arnu, and we have already stated in Halacha Hay, that scripture does not differentiate, does not distinguish in such a case, in a case which is a capital crime, it does not distinguish between a case of unintentional commission of the crime, where the capital punishment is not inflicted, or an intentional commission of the crime, where capital punishment will be inflicted. The scripture does not distinguish between these two, concerning freeing him from having to pay for the damages. Halocha ches v'haloi hachoyvel mekalkel. In the case of Shabbos, why do we say that he does not have to pay? Because it's a capital crime. One who caused an injury to someone else is doing a damage. We learned already at the very beginning of Hilchas Shabbos that anyone who does a malocha, not with a constructive purpose, but with a destructive purpose, anyone who destroys on Shabbos is not put to death. Because on Shabbos, malocha has to be done constructively in order to require punishment. And therefore, why should we consider this case where one wounded his fellow man on Shabbos, why do we consider it a capital sin? Why is it a capital sin? He did a destructive act. No, the Rambam says there was in fact some constructive purpose here too. Since he pacified his evil inclination, a person was angry and his evil inclination drove him to do something, and here he pacified his Yetzirah while he was injuring his fellow man. Therefore, this is considered a constructive purpose, even though regarding the fellow man who was injured, it's a destructive thing. But he himself did something constructive. He calmed down his Yetzirah. Therefore, it turns out to be a constructive malacha, and it is a capital sin. And therefore, he is not required to pay money. Halacha tes, hachoyvel b'chaveiroi b'yoyim hakipurim, if one injured his fellow man on Yom Kippur, afilu b'meizid, even if he did it intentionally, chayiv b'tashlumim, on Yom Kippur, a malocha is not a capital crime. It carries the penalty of kores or malchus. Afilu b'meizid, even if he did it intentionally, chayiv b'tashlumim, he has to pay money for the injury. Afal pisha over aveda shehu chayiv aleha malchus, even though he committed a sin for which the punishment is malchus, v'haloi kol ha-mechuyiv malchus v'tashlumim leike v'einei meshalim, she'ein odom leike meshalim. And the law is, as we have learned on previous occasions, that anyone who committed an act which carries both a penalty of malchus and monetary payment, leike v'einei meshalim, he gets the punishment of malchus and he does not pay, she'ein odom leike meshalim, because the rule is, as we have learned, a person does not receive malchus and pay money for the same act. Kach heim advarim bekoil. It's true that that rule applies in ordinary cases, in all other cases. Chutz mechoyvel b'chaveir ishu meshalim. Except this case, one who injured his fellow man, he pays even though he will receive malchus for causing the injury also, if it was done on Yom Kippur and the like. Shaharei bepeirush ribsa teire choyvel b'chaveri l'tashlumim. Because the Torah explicitly stated that one who injured his fellow man must pay. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Rak shifto yitain, but he shall pay for his unemployment. Unemployment being one of the five things, so also it applies to all the other of the five things that one has to pay. And since the Pasuk used an extra word, rak, but he shall pay for his unemployment, this extra word comes to teach us that in every case he shall pay, even though he's simultaneously being punished with malchus. Halacha yud, ha-choyvel be'evet knani shaloi, one who injured a non-Jewish slave who belonged to him himself, potter, he does not have to pay, because it's as if he had injured, he's injuring his own property, it's as if he had injured himself, he does not pay. Chaval be'evet ivri shaloi, if however it was a Jew who was his slave, chayav, he has to pay, bekulam, he has to pay all of the items, that all five items, he has to pay, because a slave who happens to be Jewish is considered like, is not the actual property of his master, and therefore it's not considered as if he injured himself, he injured his fellow man. Chutz min ha-sheves, except unemployment. He does not pay for unemployment, because since the Jewish slave could not work for himself anyway, he has to work only for his master, so he himself has already lost his services. Ha-choyvel be'evet k'nayni shel chaveda, one who injured someone else's non-Jewish slave, raboy shel evet noitel chamisha dvarim, the owner of the slave collects all five items. Va'afilu tziaroi b'sam v'nisrapei me'era, even if he caused him pain with some chemical substance, he caused the slave pain, where there's no damage at all been done, there's no unemployment and no medical bills, there's and no embarrassment, nothing but the pain, and in fact the owner did not feel any pain, it's the slave that felt it, had a rabbi. Nevertheless, all the expenses, including the medical expenses and everything, are paid to the master, because anything that's owing to a slave actually accrues to his master. Halacha yud aleph, kol eved sheyotza lecheiros, any slave who is being set free, who is required to be set free, for instance, if his master had knocked out a tooth or an eye or one of the other limbs for which he has required to set him free, but in fact he has not yet been set free, the document setting him free has not yet been given to him, ein lo knas, he himself cannot collect fines for any of these items, that were any of these injuries that were done to him. And if anyone else caused him an injury, he cannot collect the money from them and take it for himself. Because he has not yet been entirely set free, and he is not yet capable of collecting anything. Nor can the master collect it from the one who caused the injury, because he himself does not own any, have any possession of the slave. The slave is no longer his property. Therefore, if one removed a tooth of his slave, and therefore he has to set him free, and thereafter he blinded his eye, which similarly would require him to set him free, and he would not have to pay for it. Yoitze b'shinoi, the slave is to be set free on account of the tooth. Ve'enei noisen loy de'me'enei, and he does not have to pay him for the eye, because in fact he cannot receive a payment since he has not yet been set free. V'im tofas, if however the slave did collect it, then ein meitziyim miyodei, the money is not recovered from him. Halacha yud beis, mi shechetziyoy eved vechetziyoy ben choyrim, one who was half slave and half free man, for example, he had been the property of two owners, two masters, and one of them set free his share in the slave, and the other one did not set him free. Shebishoy odom, if someone embarrassed him, oitziyaroy, or caused him pain, or an ox had gored him, or some similar case where a fine was to be paid, in such a case, the law is that if he's half slave and half free, So he alternates days. On alternate days, he serves himself. And on alternate days, he serves his master. If one of these injuries occurred to him on a day where he serves his master, l'raboy, then the payment is paid to the master. B'yoyim shel atzmoy, if it's once on a day in which he's serving himself, then li'atzmoy, then the injury is paid to him himself. Halochi yud gimel, hachoyvel b'yevet ivri shel chaveri, one who injured a Jewish slave who belonged to someone else, chayev b'chamisha dvorim, he has to pay all five items that are paid for injury. The lokach behem karka, the rabbi oichel peiroseho. The medical expenses are, of course, to be paid to the physician who healed him. But the other four items, what is to be done with it? You cannot say that the slave will collect it all, because his master also suffered a loss when the slave who had to work for him was injured. You cannot say that the master will collect it all, because since the slave is Jewish, he himself is like a free man. He's not the property of his master, and he himself is entitled to something. What do you have to do in such a case? The money collected for the other four items is real estate is to be purchased for it, or some other thing that can bring in an income. And the income that comes in from it is paid to his master, so long as he remains a slave. And later on, after the end of the 7 years, or whenever the slave is set free, then this field no longer is under the jurisdiction of the master, and it becomes the property of the former slave. If, however, one caused the Jewish slave an injury that does not interfere with his work at all, and his master sustained no loss at all, for example, if he cut off the edge of his ear, or the edge of his nose, the entire payment is given to the slave, and the master does not collect anything, even the income from the property that's purchased with this money. Halacha yudalid, hachoyvel bebas ketano shel acherim, one who caused an injury to someone else's minor daughter, a daughter who was not yet bas mitzvah, if the injury involved a damage that actually reduced her monetary value, so a girl who was before bar mitzvah, all such things are the jurisdiction and property of her father. Then the payment is given to the father. And so also the cost of her unemployment is given to her father, since any income that a minor girl earns belongs to her father anyway, so the loss of this income is paid up to her father. Because her monetary value and her income for her employment belong to her father. If she was employed, her father would collect her wages. And if she were sold, her father, as a slave, her father would receive the money. Aval tzar uboishes veripui, however, the cost for the pain and the embarrassment and the medical expenses, harehu shalo, this belongs to her. V'cheinezek she'enei pecheses mikaspa, and so also any damage that occurred to her which did not reduce her monetary value. The Rambam does not specify what kind of a damage that could be, since we always evaluate damages in accordance with her monetary value to be sold as a slave. But perhaps this means the following. It means an injury which is long-lasting and progressive. And at the present time, her value has not been reduced thereby, but years from now, the progressive injury years from now will cause a loss of her value. This causes no loss of her value to her father, since her father can only sell her until the time when she becomes bas mitzvah, or till the end of 6 years. At that time, whoever purchased her would have to set her free anyway. So her father sustains no monetary loss, even though there is a monetary loss to her. Meshalem tzar v'ripui v'boishes. But he has to pay to his daughter the cost of the pain, the medical expenses, and her embarrassment. Halacha tezvav, hachoyvel be'eishes ish, if one injured a married woman, hasheves v'haripui l'bayla, the money that's paid for her unemployment and for her medical expenses is paid to the husband, since it's the husband who collects her income for work that she does, and it's the husband who is responsible for her medical expenses. So he pays it to the husband. V'hatzar shalom, but the cost of the pain is paid to her herself. V'haboishes v'hanezek, the embarrassment and the monetary loss, imbegoluihu, if it was a thing that everyone can see, kegoin shechoval b'foneho b'tzavora. For example, if he injured her in her face or her neck, oibiyodeho zroyeseho, or her hands or arms, then she suffers a loss of monetary value and embarrassment. The husband also suffers a loss of monetary value, and the husband is also embarrassed by the fact that his wife has an injury where everyone can see. The law is therefore as follows. If he caused the injury in her face or her neck or her arms or her hands or her arms, hashlisha lo, one third is paid to her, ushnei shlishim labal, and two thirds are paid to the husband. V'im b'seisehu hanezek, if however the injury was in a hidden place where people couldn't see it, so the greater amount of the damage is considered to be hers, and since it's not visible, her husband's loss that he sustains is minor, then hashlish labal, only one-third belongs to the husband, ushnei shlishim laisha, and two-thirds is paid to the wife. In either case, shel bal, the money that's paid, either the one-third or two-thirds that's paid to the husband, noistim loy miyad, this is paid to him immediately in cash. V'shel isha, the money that's paid to the woman, what do we do? Since what a woman acquires, the husband has to be able to enjoy the income of it, just as any other property that belongs to a wife. How can she receive property, and yet the husband derive the income? Yilkach bahem karka, the money that she collects, they should purchase real estate or other income-producing property. V'habal oichel peiris, and so long as this marriage lasts, the husband will derive the income from it. Halacha tezayin, b'med dvarim amurim, when does this law apply that we have just outlined in Halacha tezvov? Kishechovlu ba'acherim, when it was others, not the husband, who caused her the injury. Aval habal shechoval be'ishtoi, if however it was a case of a husband who injured his wife, in such a case, chayiv l'shalim la miyad, he must pay her immediately in cash, kol hanezek, the full amount of damages, v'chol ha-boishes, and the entire embarrassment, v'hatzar, and the pain, v'hakoil shaloh, and everything belongs to her in cash, v'ein labal b'amperes, and the husband does not derive any of the income from the property that she purchases with it. V'imrotzisah, Litain hadomim liacher, and this money is fully hers. If she wanted to give it as a gift to someone else, noisenes, she may give it. Because hoiru hageoinim, this ruling, even though it's not found in the Gemara, so the geonim, the scholars after the time of the Gemara, so they ruled. V'habal merapi oisa, and the husband is required to see to her medical expenses. Kederach shemerapi kol cholya, as we learned in Hilchas Ishus that he's required to see to the curing of any illness that she has. Halacha Yud Zayin, Bahamazik Ishtoi Betashmish Hamita, Chayav Binizkeho, one who causes his wife injury while he's having intercourse with her, even though not only did he not intend it, but he's permitted, in fact, to have intercourse with his wife. Nevertheless, like any case where injury is caused unintentionally, one must still pay. He has to pay her damages. Halacha Yudches, Ha'isha Shechovla Bebaila, a woman who caused an injury since all her property is under her husband's jurisdiction, she cannot sell property and pay to her husband. So where does she have money? She has no money to pay. What does she have to do? Im hoye teisves biksuvasa, if the amount specified in her ksuva was in excess of the amount required by law, that is, 200 if she had been a virgin when they got married, or 100 if she had not been a virgin, if the ksuva specified more than this amount, mechayvin oisa limkar hatesvis lebayla b'toivas ha'ana, then she is required to sell to her husband the excess according to the amount that he could expect to collect from it. That is as follows. The husband's expectations in the ksuva are as follows. If he dies while she's still living, or he divorces her, he will have to pay her the full amount of the ksuva, including this excess that had been written into the ksuva. If, however, she dies while the husband is still living, the husband inherits the entire ksuva, and he does not have to pay her anything. Now, this chance that the husband has that she might die and he will inherit the entire ksuva, this is worth money. People would pay money to take such a chance that in case she dies, they will collect what she would otherwise have collected. Now, we cannot require her to sell the chance on that excess to other people because no one else will buy it. No one will, no stranger will take a chance on this, because since the ownership of the ksuva is his, she could cancel the debt that's in the ksuva as regarding the excess, and the purchaser would lose. So she cannot sell this for money to strangers, but she could sell it to her husband. So therefore, she has to transfer to her husband the ownership of this right. That is, as regards the excess, she transfers him the right that even should she die, the husband will keep, that even should the husband divorce her, that is, or the husband should die, the husband will keep the ksuva and not have to pay it. As regards the excess, she can give him that in exchange for the money that she owes him. The goiva mimena, and then the husband collects from this amount imrotza habal, if the husband desired to do so. Since the money is now freely his, he does not have to keep it for the ksuva, since in no case will he have to pay her this excess. However, if he wants to collect everything, let's say this amount is not sufficient to cover the damage, and he wants to divorce her and collect everything from her full ksuva after he pays it to her, he can divorce her and collect the whole amount from her ksuva. If, however, she did not have any excess in her ksuva was just exactly the 100 or 200 required by law, so she cannot sell him the rights to the main ksuva itself. Why? Because it's forbidden for a man to continue living with his wife even for a short while without a ksuva there. So that it should not be easy for him to divorce his wife. The Chachomim enacted this decree: a husband may not live with his wife at all without a ksuva. So if the husband desires, since there's nowhere he can collect money from her, he writes a note, a monetary note, that she owes him that amount of money, and then eventually, when she'll have money, she'll pay him. Or he can divorce her immediately, and from the ksuva that she collects, he can take back from her now whatever is coming to him. One who injured his grown sons, his grown children who were over bar mitzvah, if they were already living in their own homes and they were not being supported by him at his table, then he must pay them immediately in cash for their injury. Vahaktanim, If, however, he injured his minor children, he cannot give them, he cannot pay it to them because they do not acquire property. Yilkach bahem karka, for the money that he owes them for the injury, they must buy land or other income producing property in exchange for the injury. Vehem oichlim peiroisav, and they collect the income from it. Vehein hadin b'acherim shechavlu b'hem, and so is the law concerning other people who injured them. Vim hoyu smuchim al shulchonoi, and in the case where they were already bar mitzvah but he was still supporting them, v'chaval b'hem, and he injured them, potter. Then he does not pay, ben shahoyk doylem, ben shahoyk tanim, regardless of whether they were bar mitzvah or not bar mitzvah, if he was supporting them, he does not pay for their injuries. If others, however, injured them, if they were bar mitzvah, he has to pay them immediately. If they were still minor children, you have to buy real estate for it. And they derive the income until they become bar mitzvah. But you do not give minor children the injury money in cash, because they will just squander it. In the case of injuries involving a deaf mute, or an idiot, or someone severely retarded, or a child who is not yet bar mitzvah, you lose either way. Okay, one should avoid having any dealings with these people concerning injuries, because you lose both ways. It's bad to have any dealings with them. Hachoyvel bahem chayav, because someone who causes them an injury has to pay. V'heim shechavlu b'acherim, but if they caused an injury to someone else, p'turim, they don't pay anything. Afalpi shenis patech acherish, even if the deaf mute later on became normal, v'nistapa hasheita, and the idiot or the retarded person became of normal mental faculties, v'higdil akotn, or the child became bar mitzvah, einam chayovim l'shalim, even then they do not have to pay for injuries that they caused while they were incapacitated. Shebishah shechavlu behem loy hoyu b'nei das, because at the time that they caused the injuries to others, they were not in possession of their faculties. Halacha chafalev ha'eved v'ha'isha pigiyosa mera. Now another case concerning this, a slave and a woman who is married. In these cases also, it's bad to have any dealings with them, because here again, you lose either way. Hachoyvel behem chayav, someone who caused injury to them has to pay. V'hein shechavlu b'acherim p'turim, and if they caused injury to someone else, they don't pay anything, because they have nowhere to pay from. They don't have liquid property that belongs to them that they can pay from. Nevertheless, it's not a total loss. Avol mishalmim liachazman, but they have to pay later on. In nizgarsha, if the woman was divorced, ha'isha nizgarsha isha, the woman was divorced, and now she has property, she has to pay. Oy meiz baila, or her husband died, and she now has property. Oy nishtacher ha'evet, or the slave was set free later. Now they can acquire property, and they have to pay even for injuries that they caused previously. Shaharei b'nei da'asheim, because at the time that they caused the injury, they were in full possession of their faculties. They were fully competent. V'hareihem kebal choiv she'ein lema yigben. They are no different from any other debtor who simply does not have any property to collect from. Shem hashir, if he later on became wealthy and did have chayav l'shalim, he will at that time have to pay. Halachichav beis, avdei shalodam kigufay, a slave of a person is his property as if it was his own body. Obehemtoi, however, his cattle are considered kimamoinai, they're considered as simple property. The slave is his own body, the cattle is just like monetary property. Ketzad, for example, how do we apply these rules? Harei shehiniach gacheles alev avdoi shel chaveroi umeis, if he put a burning coal on someone else's slave's chest, Vameis, and he killed him thereby. Oishadach Failayam, or he pushed him into the sea and he drowned. Oila Eish, or into a fire. Vuyachel Lalis Misham, and it was a situation where he could have come rescued himself and come out from there. Veloy Allah, but he failed to do so. Vameis, and he died. Potamin Hatashlumim. In such a case, he does not have to pay. Since it's a capital crime, he does not have to pay. It's as if he had done it, doing it to his slave, is as if he had done it, doing it to another person's slave, is as if he had done it to that other free man himself. It's a capital crime, and he does not pay. However, if he did so to his fellow man's animal, to an animal that belonged to his fellow man, he put a glowing coal, a burning coal on its chest, and it died from it, or pushed it into the sea and it drowned, or some other such case. The injury was done to property, as if he had put a burning coal on his garment and set it on fire. Vinisraf, and it burned up. Shulchayev l'shalim. This is not a capital crime, therefore he has to pay. V'chen kol kayotzi bazeh, and so also any other case. A slave is treated like a human being, and an animal is treated like ordinary property.